I enjoyed the walk with Annie from the marina to the Caribbean song. Once we were away from the store, we both felt a mountain of tension wash away and breathed exhausted sighs of relief. The workday was done. We two girls walked along in silence, taking in the night. Lights hanging from ropes stretched from pole to pole all along the docks lit our way and cast reflections on the black water. It looked like glass, like a person could walk on it, but I knew it was 60 feet deep and nothing walked on it. A soft wind rocked the boardwalk, causing the planks to creak as it stirred the glassy surface. To my right, lights rippled on the water, and the shimmer of a fading sun cast orange hues on a sea of shadowed, billowy summer clouds. I found the walk so relaxing and peaceful that I was a bit disappointed when Annie said, "There it is, girlfriend. Let's go do some mingling with the money." The Caribbean Song was a white, three-deck houseboat, the biggest one we had. The lower deck was softly lit, as was the interior. The party was taking place on the top deck, where deck lamps and outdoor lighting turned the night sky around it an odd shade of pale fuchsia. Country music blared from speakers, and I still could hear voices and laughter above it. I stopped and looked up at the scene for a few moments. Why was I even here? I didn't know these people, these rich and fancy people. I barely knew Daniel Ransom. I was comfortable with the quiet water in the night sky and with Annie, but I wasn't comfortable with these well-to-do people in their name-brand casual clothes and flowered sundresses. "Hey, ladies," someone hollered. I turned and saw that Daniel Ransom was standing on the bottom deck. He stuck his hands in his pockets and walked toward us. "Where are you going?" For a moment, I was plain old dumbstruck. He had traded those shorts for a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt. The simplicity of his attire meant there was nothing to compete with his toned body. His olive skin and black hair contrasted dramatically with the white. Annie grabbed my arm and spoke into my ear. "That is one fine-looking piece of man flesh. He's married," I said. She bugged out her eyes and pulled her head back. "And his woman lets him out? That sister ain't right. He's hot, Cupcake. He's so hot my eyes are burning just looking at him." The dock lights flickered on his face, outlining his prominent jaw bones and accenting his mouth, which I noticed for the first time was quite full for a guy. Then it dawned on me that I was literally gawking at him. Annie was right. He was the hottest guy over 30 that I'd ever seen in real life. Where was his gut? Where were his disgusting facial tics? Anger rose up in me. Why had I come here in the first place? People who looked like him and rented houseboats for the weekend weren't nice to people like me. It just didn't happen. He was up to something. He was after something. I was now so leery that I wished I could turn and run, but I didn't. My legs stuck to that dock like I had super glue on my feet. As he came close to us, he reached out his hand to Annie. "Howdy, I'm Daniel Ransom." She shook his hand. "Yes, you are." She held his hand a little longer than necessary. He smiled at her. When he smiled, I felt even angrier. He acted so perfect, too perfect. "And you are?" "Annie," she said. "Well, it's nice to meet you, Annie." He turned to me. "Mrs. McQuaid, I'm glad you decided to come." I nodded. "Mrs. McQuaid?" Annie squawked. "Is that what you call her?" "We have an understanding," I said. "Oh, I see," Annie said. "I ain't touching that one." The sheriff turned toward the boat and motioned with his hand. "Come on, I'll introduce you to some people." "Is your wife here?" I asked. "I'd like to meet her." "Maybe some other time," he said. "She doesn't come on the boat, but I've told her all about you." On deck, he introduced us to his friends. Most of them were old college buddies and their wives. Annie and I took a seat at an umbrella-covered table on the starboard side. Daniel Ransom followed us over. "I'll bring you girls a drink. What would you like?" "A beer for me," Annie said. "One beer. And what about you?" I shrugged. "Water." "All right," he said, and he darted away to get us something to drink. "Look over yonder," Annie said without turning her head. A tall, slender black man with short, trimmed hair and well-proportioned features leaned against the deck rail as he fidgeted with a cell phone. "Seems to me like there are all kinds of flavors of delicious on this boat." The man looked up then, went over to the bar, and started talking to Daniel. I had to laugh. "You're crazy, Annie." "I ain't crazy, sugar. I just ain't like you. Now, you might enjoy living your quiet little life way out yonder in the boonies, but me, I like a little adventure, and that guy looks like an adventure to me." "I don't know," I said. "I have a theory about attractive men." "Oh, yeah, and what would that be?" I looked up to make sure Daniel wasn't near. He was still talking to the cell phone guy. "Well," I said, "in my experience, really good-looking men are either always so full of themselves that they can't stand to be around you, or else they're married, and then, yeah, they're usually still jerks." "So you're telling me that all good-looking men are jerks?" "Yeah, the ones that I've encountered." "Mm-hmm." "Is that why you married an ugly man?" She had seen Bob a couple of times when my truck had been torn up and he had driven me to work. "Bob's not ugly," I said. "He doesn't live his life according to what everybody else thinks. Bob's real. At least with him, I know what I got." "Ain't nobody real," Annie said. "No matter how well you think you know somebody, you still don't know them." Daniel Ransom was approaching us now. "How about him?" she said. "I suspect he's up to something," I replied. "The jury is still out on him." He set our drinks down. "The jury's still out on what?" "On nothing," Annie said. "You know, just girl talk." She winked at him and he smiled. "All right, I see how it is. So, Annie, are you married?" "Well, that's straight to the point," she said. "And no, tried that once. It didn't work out for me." He laughed. "My friend over there, Antonio." He motioned to the tall guy with the cell phone. "He spotted you and started asking me about you. I told him that I'd introduce you." "Antonio," Annie said. "Sounds sophisticated." The sheriff laughed. "He's an insurance salesman." "Well, introduce me," she said. "I might be interested in a policy." I laughed. Daniel invited him over to our table, and we sat there for a bit making small talk. Annie laughed at everything the guy said, and he laughed at everything she said. Before long, they didn't even know that Daniel and I were at the table. Annie had her eye on Antonio, and I was pretty sure that they were apt to leave together once the party was over. That's the way Annie operated. But she had never been anything but good to me, so I stayed out of her personal business. I was concerned about how much time I'd wasted and about how late it was getting. I was concerned that Bob might be worried about me. So finally I stood. "Excuse me, but I need to be going. It's getting late." I exchanged pleasantries with Antonio and told Annie I'd see her in the morning. The sheriff did too. "Let me escort you off the boat. There's a few tricky spots on this area of the dock. I wouldn't want you to trip or anything." I worked on the dock. I knew every tricky spot there was, and now I was sure that he was up to something. But I still said, "Okay." He walked me off the boat and stood on the dock. "Beautiful night." "Yes, it is," I said. The wind blew my hair, and I could once again hear the gentle lapping of the lake against the dock. I could feel the sway of the wooden structure each time the water pushed against it. "Do you mind if I walk up the boardwalk with you?" he said. "I've got a headache, and I think the air would do me some good." "All right," I said. For a moment, neither of us spoke. I looked over at him, and he was a million miles away. "I used to come here when I was a kid," he finally said. "My grandpa, he owned an old aluminum fishing boat. Whenever we would come to visit, and after Mom and I moved back here, he'd take me out on that boat on Saturdays. He'd keep me out until the sun had turned me as brown as Antonio. Life was so simple. Catching fish, watching Granny scale them." "Is that why you rented the boat?" I asked. "It reminds you of your childhood?" "Partly," he said. "And partly it was Marion. She loved the water so much." "Your wife?" He nodded. So if she loves water, why doesn't she come on the boat with you? It's complicated, he said. And then I knew that they were separated or having some sort of trouble. Maybe he was messing with me, thought I was ignorant or cheap or amusing. Maybe he was a sycophant or something. We reached the end of the ramp and I started up the hill. Daniel Ransom caught me by the wrist. Wait, he said, and he reached out to touch my hair. This was it. He was making his move. He was going to try to kiss me. I shoved him away from me. Bob had always told me I was freakishly strong for my size. I guess it must have been true because when I shoved Daniel Ransom, he staggered a couple of feet across the boardwalk and went straight off the edge, straight into the deep black water.